If you would please turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 8. Keep your hand here. This is my text. I'll be back. I would remind you as I read it that this is the Word of God. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Beginning at the first verse. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners, as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, quote, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, end of quote. So that we confidently say, quote, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what will man do to me? End of quote. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. The Father, the writer of Hebrews, gives us a list of exhortations. He's drawing the book to an end, and he's got some things that he wanted to remind them of, Lord. And I think there's something in each of these exhortations that are related to verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, this morning we're going to look at the changeless Christ, the one who does not change. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, our minds, our eyes to your truth. We pray that the Holy Spirit who inspired this writing would bring it to bear in our life, that it would create edification in our hearts, Lord, that we would have a better understanding. And that we could glory, as our songs have been doing, glory in the magnificence of Christ, the changeless Christ who will never leave us nor forsake us. I pray. Amen. Everyone I know goes away in the end. You can have it all, my empire of dirt. Was that true? Is that true or not? Let's find out. We find in Hebrews chapter 13 that relationships change. Relationships change. Someone said, to dwell above with saints we love, that'll be glory. To live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. Why does he begin with, let love of the brethren continue? Well, it's because it doesn't happen automatically. You have to work at it. People change. Circumstances change. Feelings change. In fact, I think here, let's read verses 1 through 3. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners, as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. I believe that the prisoners mentioned in verse 3 were people who were being imprisoned for their faith. They are of the body. They were other believers. And his point here is the temptation, of course, would be, I don't want to associate with them. I don't want to be seen visiting them. I don't want to be known as one of them, because then that would also maybe risk me being put in prison. But he mentions different groups here that we should have relation with. The brethren, verse 1. Verse 2, strangers. Verse 3, prisoners. Those who are ill-treated. These are all relationships that we need to work on, that we need to work at. The New Testament constantly reminds us to love one another because it isn't easy. It isn't easy. But even given our best efforts to love others, relationships change. People move away. They change jobs. They change churches. Good friends are hard to keep. Good friends are hard to keep. When I was a kid, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church every time the doors were open. And that meant, back then, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday youth group. If it was cleaning day, they drugged me there too. I was always at church. The little building that I was saved and baptized in, we soon outgrew it, and we built a much larger building, and my dad was the contractor. So guess what? He took me every day too. So I was constantly at church, which wasn't all bad. In fact, it was good. I'm glad for it. I was a deacon's kid. My best friend was the pastor's kid, PK. We were tight, and we got in a lot of trouble together. I remember back in those days when you had communion. Now, John and Marilyn prepare communion for us. They fill the cups and the plates, and I appreciate that. In fact, when I first got here, it was Herman and Ruth Hetrick, and they had probably done it for decades, okay? And then they retired from it, and Bruce and Barb did it for about 20 years. And then they've retired, and now John and Marilyn do it. But back then, we didn't have plastic cups. We had glass cups. That's how, you know, this is, yes, I'm older than plastic. I understand that. But we had these little cup glasses. And, you know, of course, to us, they look like little shot glasses, right? You remember them, right? Well, now, these plastic ones, we just throw away. But the glass ones had to be washed every time. So Gary and I's job, our assignment, was to gather them up so that they could be washed. Now, Gary, God bless him, he liked to stick his tongue in there and get the rest of the juice out. Now, if we were at a different type of church and it wasn't Welch's, maybe I could understand the attraction. But it was just grape juice, right? It was just grape juice. One day we were having a snowball fight outside. And it had two sets of double glass doors. And the teenagers, we were out there and shouldn't have been doing it. I'm not condoning anything I'm about to tell you. But we were having a snowball fight out on the front steps. And Gary decided to throw an ice ball. And I knew what he was up to. So before he could hit me, I ran inside the building and I opened up the glass door wide open to go in. As I was opening the door, Jake Nielsen, who was an older lady, was stepping out. Gary hit her right between the eyes. It was like a sniper took her down. She literally was cold, out cold. I literally was nowhere to be found. That's the preacher's kid's problem, not mine. We had built this new building that I mentioned, so the old building was converted into Sunday school space. And the lobby was divided up, but they left the chandelier in the lobby. And one day, Gary and I were there, and we were throwing football inside the building there. And he took out the chandelier with a football pass. Again, I left the scene of the crime. He got me back, though, one time. Because we had outgrown, and by the way, we eventually bought property and built a bigger building, but there was not enough Sunday school class, so we were renting a local school. It was right down the road for Sunday mornings, for Sunday school. And after Sunday school, or after church on Sunday afternoon, Gary and I and my brother, we would load up the stuff that had been brought from the church onto a Sunday school bus, and somebody would drive it back to the church, and they would unload it and put the stuff away. And we did this for weeks, months, a couple months maybe. And one Sunday afternoon, the pastor, Gary's dad, comes up to me and he hands me some money. And I said, well, what is this? He goes, oh, this is your pay for doing all that work every Sunday. I said, we're getting paid to do this? And he goes, I give it to Gary every week. Doesn't he give it to you? But we were best buddies, honestly. We were good friends, and we had a good time. And it all lasted until Kathy is his wife of 43 years. She broke up a great friendship because all of a sudden he didn't want to hang around Greg anymore. He wanted to hang around. Now this is, you know, I think they started dating when he was 15. All of a sudden, you know, he decides there's something more important than myself. Relationships change. Some relationships change for good. Verse 2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. When you first met them, even your best friend was a stranger, right? You can go from being strangers to friends. The proverb says, a man who wants friends must show himself, what? Friendly. The poet said, I went out to find a friend, and I didn't find any. I went out to be a friend, and then I found many. Jesus said, I was a stranger, and you took me in. We need to be friends to strangers, to prisoners, verse 3, to those who are ill-treated, who are suffering adversity. We need to befriend them. We need to reach out to them. You need to reach out to someone maybe who's lost a job or lost a child or a marriage. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Relationships are important. Let brotherly love continue. It's a command. It's an exhortation. We're to find people to love. We're to establish relationships. We're to make friends out of strangers. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice, and if they're ill-treated, if they're suffering adversity, we're to weep with those who weep. However, relationships change. You can't count on friends lasting forever. Secondly, marriages change. Look at verse 4. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Sharon and I have been married for over 40 years. We took a vow, till death do us part. But eventually, even good marriages are terminated. One day, either I will go first or she will go first. Jesus said, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. What that means is, we're married here on earth, but we're not married in heaven. Now, someone asked me, and I get this question a lot, will I know my husband or my wife? Well, certainly you will. But you won't have that type of relationship still. Again, let's just think for a minute. Some of you might remember Rosie, who used to go here. She lost three husbands. They all passed away. When she gets to heaven, who's going to be her husband? Right? See, so marriages are till death do us part, but they're not forever. They will not last forever. Either by death, or sadly, as verse 4 hints at, by divorce. Either by death or divorce, all marriages end. Sooner or later, a mate dies. Or, unfortunately, many marriages end prematurely. Immorality, sinful actions, attitudes change the relationship, the marriage relationship. Marriages change. You can't count on mates lasting forever. Well, thirdly, verse 5, the first part of it says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Finances change. Finances change. You lose your job. An investment goes sour. You have unexpected medical bills. For better or for worse, your accounts will change. My best friend now, and I still love Gary, and we're still in contact, you know. Kathy, not so much. just kidding. Just kidding. But when I was about 16, another guy had started coming to church and in a youth group, and the youth pastor told me, hey, why don't you go make friends with Joe? Why don't you, you know, try to make him feel more comfortable? So I did. And Joe became, and is still, to this day, my best friend in the world. Joe, for most of his adulthood, was a missionary in Costa Rica. Some of you know, some of you have heard this story before, but Joe got a debilitating disease and had to come home. Back in July, we went and saw them. They live in Louisville now, Kentucky. But when we first got married, there was a whole bunch of us that got married right around the same time, and we had children around at the same time. But Joe was raising money on debutation, it's called, to go to the mission field. You have to raise support to go to the mission field. And Joe was out on the road a lot, going to churches, having meetings, meeting pastors, so that he could help raise support, so he could go to Costa Rica as a missionary. Well, he'd been out for a couple weeks in a row, and when he would get back into town, he would, of course, have some checks and gifts and some money, and he would deposit it in the savings and loan. How many remember savings and loans? Now, do you know why the rest of you don't? I'm going to tell you. It actually happened in Cincinnati. It actually happened in my home area. Charles Keating owned a bunch of savings and loans, and he began to get in over his head, and we had what was called the savings and loans crisis, the S&L crisis, and savings and loans began to fail. It was big news, right? And I had told Joe about Charter Oaks because they paid a higher interest rate. That's where we saved, that's where we had our savings account, and that's where he opened up an account to put it in because it had a higher interest rate. Now, why did it have a higher interest rate? Because they weren't federally insured money. They had to give you some incentive to put money there because it wasn't like the bank. So Joe, on my advice, had opened up an account at Charter Oaks. He'd been on the road. He came home. Now, remember, this is before the internet, and you weren't saturated with news constantly, right? You had to look up on purpose to find the news. He had no idea what was going on. So he gets, Monday morning, he gets his stuff together. He goes to Charter Oaks, and when he gets there, there's a line out the bank. He doesn't know why. He gets in line. He's there to deposit money. Everybody else in line is there to take out money, right? They're closing their accounts. He has no idea. So he's waiting, and he's been waiting for a half hour or whatever, and he's getting closer to making a deposit. Finally, he says to somebody, why is the line so big? And the person said, are you kidding me? They think all these savings loans are going to falter, are going to fail, and we're taking our money out, right? So Joe immediately got rid of that deposit slip and took his money out. Actually, he never got he did not get his money out. They had capped the amount. He did eventually get it, but it took a while. But finances change, right? He thought he was putting money in the bank, and the next minute he was taking money out. Finances change. You cannot count on money lasting forever. Well, verse 7. We'll look back at the rest of 5 and 6 in a minute. Verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Fourthly, leaders change. Leaders change. I read an article this week. It's local. I don't know how it would affect you. It really discouraged me. Dateline Lebanon, PA. A historic Lebanon County church and townhome were recently listed for sale. According to the listing, this historic church located at, in Lebanon, was first built back in 1865. According to the listing, the sale of the church and townhome, parsonage, comes after the longtime pastor of the current congregation decided to retire. Pastor retires, they close the church. That's just so sad. But pastors retire. Leaders change. Now, we're not making a big thing of it, but today, Community Bible Church is 60 years old. 60 years old. And yes, we have two people who've been here from the beginning, right? They were just babies. Deb Gibble, Becky Farver, all right, have been here the whole 60 years. That's great. But in 60 years, pastors have come and gone, right? They would remember Pastor Herr, the founding pastor. Pastor Herr was here 16 years. He was followed by Pastor Metcalf, Pastor Rainwater, and then Pastor G. They were all here 4 or 5 years, give or take. Then Pastor Wiley, who was here before me. He was here 9 years. And then I came. But guess what? Somebody's going to be here next, right? I'm just a placeholder. These men were interim pastors. They were temporary pastors. Nobody is a pastor forever. You can't, leaders change, pastors change. The best a leader can hope for is to make a lasting impact while he can. Right? Again, look at verse 7. Remember those who led you. And again, you see that this is past tense, so he's talking about there's been a change. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. That's the best a leader can hope for, is to make a lasting impact while he can. One day, if the Lord tarries, I will be succeeded by another pastor. The only thing I can hope is that I leave behind a good testimony of faithfulness to the changeless one. Now, I love verse 7. It says, remember those who led and what? Who spoke the word of God to you. I've always considered this my primary job assignment. I'm to speak the word of God to you. It's a tough, it's a changing environment for pastors. We went to this with my daughter and her family last Sunday to their church where they're currently going, and the pastor got up, and honestly, I think he was 11. He was so young, right? He was so young. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know what? I'm a dinosaur. Seriously, I'm a dinosaur. I wore my suit. Yes, on vacation. I wore a suit on vacation. Because when I go to church, I wear a suit. That's just the way it is. But I'm a dinosaur. You know, pastors nowadays are supposed to be vision casters and entrepreneurs and have their own brand. I don't know, man. Here's what I think. What are they going to remember and imitate? Those who spoke the word of God to you. That's it. That's my job. And I'll do it as long as the Lord allows me to. But you can't count on pastors lasting forever. Relationships change. Marriages change. Finances change. Leaders change. However, Christ changes never. Christ changes never. Look at verse 5, the last part. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently then can say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Yes, when relationships change, and marriages change, and finances change, and leaders change, he changes not. And he can help you through the changes. He can help you through those relationship changes. He can help you through those marriage changes. He can help you through those financial changes. And he can help you when leadership changes. He will never leave you. He will never leave you. His companionship never changes. He said, I will never leave you. Nobody else can say that, right? That's what Johnny Cash was getting at. Everybody I know goes away in the end. Nobody else can say, I can't promise you. I will always be here. I can't promise Sharon. I will always be here. But Jesus will. Jesus will. His companionship never changes. He's the one relationship you can count on. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You may lose your dearest friend, your closest loved ones, but you'll never lose Christ. His commitment never changes. He said, I will never leave you. Your loved one may break their commitment to you, but he won't. Who do you have to be afraid of? The worst that life can throw at you cannot separate you from the love of God. His commitment never changes. His compassion never changes. His character never changes. He says, I will never leave you. Nothing else can say that, right? The new car you love, right? Eventually you'll hate it. I was trying to think the other day how many cars I've had in my life, right? You know, you get a new car, you're all excited. Now, I haven't bought a new car. And our marriage, we bought one new car, right? Yes, okay. I mean, new to me, right? But you know what? Eventually, you got to get another one. I found this car. It's great. So it's not. Your home can't say, I'll never leave you. Right? We're getting to that age where we're trying to think about the future. And, you know, the laundry is in the basement. And the bedrooms and bathrooms up the stairs. Right? We'd love to stay in our home until we die. Everybody that's ever had a home wanted to stay there till they die. But you can't. Things change. Your home can't say, I'll never leave you. Your computer sure can't say it, right? How many computers? If I've owned a lot of cars, I've owned a lot of computers too, right? Things don't last. But God does. This is the key to contentment. So, have you ever struck out, look at 5 and 6. It's just so odd. We love these two verses, and of course they're quotes. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. I mean, that's a great verse, but have you ever read it in context? It's talking about money. It's talking about contentment. Then verse 6 says, so we could confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Again, the context is about money. It's about contentment. This is the key to contentment. The changeless Christ. Verse 76. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, and so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Why? Because we have God. Godliness, holiness, walking with God, knowing Jesus is a means of great gain. It won't make you materially rich, but if it's accompanied with contentment, it'll make you spiritually rich. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak of want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Why? Why does it say? Well, you go back to Hebrews 13:5 and 6. It's because of the fact that Christ changes not. Yes, leaders will eventually leave you, but Christ will not. So, Johnny Cash. He was half right. Not everyone goes away in the end. You can count on Christ lasting forever. Yesterday he helped me. Today he did the same. How long will this continue? Forever praise his name. Verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the changeless one. Jesus Christ is not fickle. He's not temporary. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never, this changeless Christ will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will help us through every other relationship, every other financial reversal, every marriage crisis, change in leadership. He will help us through all those things. So, Father, we want to just focus on the changeless Christ. Get our eyes off these other things, these material things, temporary things. To get our eyes off our leaders or off our mates and onto Christ. God, may he be our helper in ever-present need. Amen.